Today is the Feast of the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the book of Isaiah. And the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, either unto the depth of hell or unto the height above. And Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye, therefore, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to be grievous to men, that you are grievous to my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. And he shall eat butter and honey, that he may know how to refuse the evil and to choose the good. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. At that time, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And when the angel had come to her, he said, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she had heard him, she was troubled at his word, and kept pondering what manner of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he shall be king over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. But Mary said to the angel, How shall this happen, since I do not know man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And therefore the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman, also has conceived a son in her old age. And she who is called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing shall be impossible with God. But Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As you know, this last year, the older priests here celebrated our 25th anniversary as priests. And, of course, Father Violette also, God willing, he's a priest in heaven now. But it was considered that we offer a solemn mass, because over all these years we had never offered a solemn mass, so now we're in the rotation to do that. So I have the privilege of offering this mass, conventual mass, and I had realized also that I'd never done the conventual mass on this feast, so it is a very great privilege. This day, honoring the Son of God and the Blessed Virgin Mary, maybe in the most sublime way, was determined by Holy Mother of the Church to be exactly 9 months before Christmas. Because that date of Christmas is the day that our Lord was born into the world, so that means March 25th, the day that he was conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. After Adam committed the sin, God, in his infinite wisdom, his providence, did not abandon Adam and Eve, mankind, but promised moments after their sin to send a Redeemer from a woman. Who would step on the neck of Lucifer and would free us from sin and reopen the gates of heaven. So that was the promise given to us. But it took 4,000 years for that to come about, this event. And if you notice, there is no feast of the incarnation of our Lord. Meaning the very moment God became man. There's no feast. It's the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Meaning the announcement given to her by St. Gabriel the Archangel. It's all in God's plan that everything given to us, all the graces from God, come through her. So she's mediatrix of all graces. And because God decided to do this, he chose her as our co-redemptrix. From all eternity, because he, becoming a man, is our Redeemer to buy us back, to save us from sin. And because, as you know, it is only fitting that if the Son of God, by the infinite decision and knowledge of God the Father and the power of the Holy Ghost, if they decide to make this unbelievable, sublime event happen through this humble young woman, that God and man would be in her. He would receive his body from her. It only is fitting that she shares in, cooperates in, our redemption. And so that is exactly what happened. That's why she, at the very moment of our redemption, when Jesus died on the cross, she was standing there praying, uniting herself as our mother to make up for our sins subordinately to Jesus Christ, her Son. Yesterday was the feast of St. Gabriel the Archangel. That name, Gabriel, in Latin, but it's a Hebrew word, and it means strength of God or power of God. And this beautiful event, exquisitely described by St. Luke, who received the exact description of the events from the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is praying in her home. And this archangel, one of the greatest angels, appears before her as a young man, and he kneels before her. So it startled her. You have to realize the human side of this. She had consecrated her life, her body and soul to God, and all of a sudden there's a young man here who came out of nowhere, and he's kneeling before her. And he says, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." Those are immortal words. And he describes, as we just read in the gospel, how she, by the power of God, the Holy Ghost will overshadow her, and she will conceive of a son who will be the Savior of mankind. And you see her fear, but also not confusion, but her great humility. How should this happen? I belong to God. And so he explains it to her, that she has been found favor with God. And from her, the Savior will be born to save us. If you remember from your catechism, which you should read the whole book and then start over. That should just be a standard textbook for you. But if you recall that the chief teaching of the Catholic Church is that God became man. And so that is why when we tested our catechumens, as we described on Sunday, I asked them, now what is the incarnation? What does that mean? And there are lengthy explanations in the catechism, but they, as we told them, just say God became man, God made man, and that is sufficient. And that is what they did. And they both passed their exams, by the way. But on this day, over 2,000 years ago, the Word of God, the Son of God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, took his flesh from her and united himself with this flesh from the Blessed Virgin Mary for all eternity. So not only is this the anniversary of the incarnation, but also it is the anniversary of the ordination of our Lord as priest, because this is the day he became a priest. You can say it's the anointing of the divinity that he has become the supreme pontiff, the mediator between God and man. By this privilege of hers, she stands on the threshold of divinity, of the hypostatic order. You may remember that from previous sermons of our Father Superior. And so just we insert this, that everything we say is from fathers of the Church, such as St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, spiritual writers, and our Father Superior. Nothing original, nothing new. Completely in accordance with the tradition of the Church. St. Anselm says, "The Son of the Father and the son of the Virgin naturally become a single and identical son. Hence, Mary is queen of the human race and is to be venerated by all. It's almost, but we can say it's part of our human nature. With grace of God, of course, by our baptism, that we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary. So it's almost unnatural for a person to ignore her, disparage her, criticize her. I find it offensive. When hearing people criticize the Blessed Virgin Mary. And if you look in your catechism, blasphemy is dishonoring God, the name of God, and the angels and saints. So it's blasphemous to do that. She's the mother of God. So it's always been, and here it will continue, to honor and praise her more and more from the moment of this incarnation in her and through all these centuries. That is the tradition of the Church, as God gives grace to the saints and to holy clergy to continue to praise her and honor her in masses like this. There is a hymn that goes way back to the early church, the time of St. Athanasius. And it was called the Troparion. It was written in Greek. And it was written for this feast of the Annunciation. And this verse, this one section, I'll read to you. Today is the beginning of our salvation and the revelation of the eternal mystery. The Son of God becomes the Son of the Virgin, as Gabriel announces the coming of grace. Together with him, let us cry to the Theotokos. Rejoice, O full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And that term, if you are familiar with Greek, but Theotokos means God-bearer. She's the bearer of God in her womb. There are so many doctrines and aspects of this feast that we were studying and preparing, and it was overwhelming. Because it is so sublime, this feast of the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And even though Holy Mother the Church regards the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary as her greatest feast, and in our times, and really in the history of the Church, her Immaculate Conception is given the greatest honor. I've always found that this feast of the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, in some ways, is the greatest because that is the moment she became the Mother of God and is the moment of the Incarnation. And this Mass, which you had the grace to make the effort to come this morning to assist at, is your way to be as united as possible to our Lord and His Mother on this day. About 30 years ago, as we've mentioned many times, we went on a pilgrimage to Italy, see many of the shrines, see the body of St. Anthony, see Rome, St. Peter's Basilica, countless stories, adventures with Father and the altar boys and seminarians who were with us at that time. But maybe the highlight in some ways was going to Loreto, where in this beautiful church, which was under renovation at the time, is the house of Loreto, that small dwelling where this event of the incarnation took place. Some of us in the community, and I have the huge privilege of being one of them, have a small piece, small relic of the house of Loreto. And I have it in a reliquary in my room. And last night, I just was moved to kneel before that relic and to recall 30 years ago, kneeling in that house of Loreto. And this time when we went, the first time we went, there's virtually no one there, so it was just Father and I, who were seminarians at the time, and kneeling in total silence, praying in that house. Maybe you've been there before, maybe some of you have had the privilege, but it was just overwhelming to be at the very spot, even though that house was moved by the angels at least twice to save it from enemies in the Holy Land. But that was the very spot where the incarnation took place, where she became the Mother of God. And all you can do is pray, and maybe just if you have the courage to just say the Hail Mary, to repeat those words of St. Gabriel the Archangel that were said in that spot. Now this feast this year falls during Passiontide, and we see all the images covered. So the only image of the Blessed Virgin Mary, you see it on the banner over here, and then on the back of this beautiful vestment. The Gloria is sung. Psalm 42 is said during the foot prayers. Because Holy Mother, the Church, will not ignore and honor in a fitting way, even in this small chapel, which virtually no one knows anything about, we will not ignore this dogma, which is necessary for salvation. We will not ignore the Blessed Virgin Mary as the Mother of God. And we stand resolute against those from the very beginning, the same enemies of our Lord and the Blessed Virgin Mary, all the way 6,000 years plus later, we stand against them. And you know why we do? Why we stand our ground? First of all, to be loyal to them. not to compromise, and to also be strong against the enemies, because when they see we're not going to move or compromise, they at least respect us, even if they're atheists or they claim to be, or they're haters of tradition. They respect that we're not going to give in, and that is the way we win their conversion. That's the way it was with our Lord, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the apostles at the very beginning of the church. They knew, to put it in our expression, they meant business. And so that's why we say that, because it's important to put this feast in the context of today's events. You don't hear anything in the media or hardly any place else about this feast day. But it's so intimately tied to the Holy Trinity and what next week is all about, that it is inseparable. You remember this question and answer from your catechism? What is meant by the redemption? Question 90 in the Catechism. By the redemption is meant that Jesus Christ, as the Redeemer of the whole human race, offered his sufferings and death to God as a fitting sacrifice in satisfaction for the sins of men, and regained from them the right to be children of God and heirs of heaven. So just to explain that just briefly, because it has everything to do with the incarnation, why that took place, why God is, in Jesus Christ, he's both God and man, but also why Holy Week takes place, especially Good Friday. So, his sufferings and death were a fitting sacrifice to make up for our sins, especially his death, the death of God. That's very important to show the outrage of our sins, our disobedience, our selfishness in the face of God who's given us so many beautiful gifts. And of course, it shows the great love of God, the mercy of God, in the face of such stubborn and evil and indifferent children. I'm sure everyone has experienced a moment when they are having a conversation with someone and you're talking to them and they won't look at you, or they're looking out the window, or they're looking at their phone, or they're showing indifference or boredom. How rude that is. Some time ago, I was talking to someone in that situation. I said, "Hey, I'm talking to you. Put the phone down." "Oh, I'm sorry." They didn't even realize they were doing it. Well, don't we do that often with our Lord? He's giving us grace, and we maybe are trying, at least saying our prayers, and then we get distracted, and then we like a little spoiled child, we leave our prayers and do something to satisfy our desires, get distracted and give in to them. We are so often ungrateful children. However, God knew all these things were going to happen, and he still became a man in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary to give us that chance to get to heaven. So we have, as we said many times, we have to do our part, not just passive bystanders or freeloaders. We have to carry our cross daily. To define some of those words, it's worth reminding you about this. So, the death of God is a fitting sacrifice in satisfaction for the sins of men. So, the word satisfaction, it means compensation for the offense or injury that you've done to another person. And the word redeemer is one who pays a price to regain something that has been lost or given up. Now we know, if we have any appreciation for the malice of sin, if we really let the guilt sink in, because there's nothing wrong with feeling guilty. That's why God put that in our very human nature, that we feel bad, we've done wrong, we feel guilty when we've offended God or our neighbor. So that is the normal thing, is to get rid of the guilt. Don't deny its existence. Don't live with it and just keep committing the sin and then eventually become callous. No. Immediately say the act of contrition. Oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended thee. And I detest all my sins because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell. But most of all, because they offend thee, my God, who art all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve with the help of thy grace to confess my sins, to do penance, and to amend my life. This guilt is taken away. And all you have to do is go to confession now. You all know that. If a person has the misfortune of committing a sin, but especially a mortal sin, they don't want to go to hell, so they say the act of contrition, and they mean it with the desire to go to confession, then they can receive the Holy Eucharist. And the more you do that, the more you won't have to do it, because it's when we're not sorry for our sins that they become multiple. And we say these things because we're just at near the most important week of the year, Holy Week. And that day, Good Friday, when we are liturgically put to death with our Lord, and it all started with this feast. And it's a reason this feast exists. Here is the collect for this Mass. O God, you willed that at the message of an angel, your word should take flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Grant to thy suppliant people that we who believe her to be truly the Mother of God may be helped by her intercession with you. That's all we need. And it's a virtual guarantee. You can read in the back of the calendar for those who have devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, but also say the rosary daily. One of the after effects of saying the rosary every day is heaven. Getting to heaven. And there we will see the Blessed Virgin Mary. And not just honor her liturgically, but face to face, we can bow down before her. And say, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. May God bless you.